can't stand up. Southside, Southside, we gon' set this party on fire. Westside, Westside, we gon' set this party on fire. Man, I promise.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so it's been a while. But we're here.
We're back, baby.
We're back. We are back. Oh, let me tell you something. God is still good, and Netflix and Hill is still here.
Okay, come on,
we
big
are
boss.
Still here. We are still here.
Yes.
And I just want to send a heartfelt thank you to all of our listeners who have been riding with us over the past season.
Love
season
y'all.
One was just, it was everything.
Okay.
It was everything. And, you know, and we just love and appreciate you all so very much.
For real.
Yeah, because, like, this past year has been interesting.
Ain't it?
A lot has happened in 2022.
My Lord.
A lot happened. But, we're back, Britt. We are back. And God is so very faithful to see us through. And I'm just excited.
Me too.
I'm excited. So I just, you know, our last episode was we did the social media episode for our ministry for the anniversary. And that was a visual episode, which was really dope.
It was.
That is actually still on YouTube.
Yes,
it's actually
it is.
Posted on our ministry page, Thy Kingdom Has Come International Ministries. On YouTube, so you can just look that up and you can watch that. It's
Check
phenomenal.
It out.
It's phenomenal. And we talk about social media.
Oh yeah.
And that's a very important topic that needs to be talked about.
Right.
And it's very prevalent. So if you guys haven't had a chance to listen to that, I would say go back and take a listen and a watch.
Yes,
that.
Please.
So you can actually see us on that episode. See our beautiful faces.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
You know, so today.
Oh yeah, it's going down.
We're gonna start this season off. We are in season two.
Woo!
And season two is titled The World. And we're talking about things that happen in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, of course, they are laced with biblical truths because the Bible tells us that we live in this world as Christians, but
That's
we
it.
Are not
of
this
world.
Because we gotta be in it. This is where God placed us to be. He did not put us on Mars or Saturn or Venus.
Stop trying to go there.
Any of those planets that we learned about in science class. We don't live on those. We live in the world. We live in the world. So I think this topic is very necessary.
It, big time.
Right? So what we're gonna talk about today is we're gonna talk about cancel culture.
Ooh.
Yeah. Child. We're gonna talk about cancel culture. And I know a lot of us, you know, think that we have the right to cancel people.
Entitled.
Because we have an opinion to everything. Like, everybody is so opinionated.
What's going on?
When did your opinion become Bible or law?
Ooh.
Like, who said, who told you that you have an opinion? Like, okay, everybody just runs with these opinions.
Oh,
so we're going to first, what I'm going to do is I'm going to define cancel culture.
Ooh,
and,
get into it.
I don't know who these two people are, but Merriam and Webster gave me a definition
for
cancel culture. And so according to Merriam Webster, cancel culture refers to the mass withdrawal of support from public figures or celebrities who have done things that aren't socially accepted today. And this practice of canceling, I held up quotation marks, or mass shaming often occurs on social media platforms such as Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And it's starting to be a thing.
It really is.
Like people are really starting to, you know, cancel people. That's if you guys didn't know, we started this episode off with a song from Kanye West. And I thought that was appropriate because we know that in this past year that you know, 2022, that Kanye West went through some things and it was kind of a canceling of his career or him as a person.
I'm saying.
So that I thought that was appropriate. Okay, so Brent, when you hear that definition of cancel culture, what does that make you think about?
It makes me think like, what is this cyber stoning we got going on out
Not
here today?
Cyber stoning.
Cyber stoning. Like
that's
what?
Good though. That's
it's
really
like,
good.
It's like you literally are deplatforming somebody. Like you're literally coming in and you saying, I have the right to silence you completely. Mm-hmm. I'm boycotting everything that you got going on because I feel like, you know, in my all self-righteousness, in my mental entitlement.
Yeah, that, definitely entitlement. Definitely entitlement.
That I feel like I'm getting ready to bankrupt your life.
Wow.
Okay, like, I think that is really insane.
It is.
That is extremely insane.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And I also point out a word that was used in the definition by Merriam-Webster. They said shaming.
Shaming.
And, like, if I think about that word biblically.
Yeah.
Because cancel culture is unhealthy because it encourages shame and not accountability.
Ooh.
So it encourages you to feel shameful about your actions. Oh. And we know that shame is not of God.
It's not.
Really. And you need some Bible for that?
Come on, give it to
me. I'm so glad you asked.
Oh.
Scripture moment.
Let's go.
In Romans 10:11, mm-hmm. in the ESV version of the Bible, the word says, for the scripture says, everyone who believeth in him will not be put to shame. Ooh. So that's for our believers. Yeah. Now listen, if you have not professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior,
yeah,
that does not apply.
So, we talking to you.
So I'm just saying, like, I mean, there's benefits to being on this side.
Okay.
You know, and one of them is that you will not be shamed. Or that it's not of God.
Okay.
You know, he says you will not be put to shame.
Right.
And I think about that because, you know, we cancel people. And how can we say that we've canceled someone as a believer in Christ, but the Bible tells us to do the exact opposite? To love them,
right,
despite their flaws, despite, you know, their mishaps.
Mm-hmm.
And it also says here, we have clear as day, that everyone who believes in him, the him is Jesus, will not be put to shame. So if cancel culture is causing shame, then I think it's safe to say,
yeah,
in my opinions, mm-hmm, that as Christians, we need not be out here canceling people.
Okay, we need to be the main ones sitting out, okay? We are not in PE. Sit out this one. You're on the bench, buddy. Like, no.
Yeah, but, okay, we know that cancel culture is extremely prevalent in the world. Like,
yeah,
that's their thing. If somebody says anything against their rights, I have a right to this, I have a right to that. And what I found out, let me tell you a true story.
Come on.
So I was doing research, mm-hmm, for book writing, right?
Yeah.
And I was reading about, you know, writing memoirs. And it was so interesting because in this workbook that my friend sent me,
yeah,
to kind of, like, write everything out, one of the things that was stated in the book was you are entitled as a right,
mm-hmm,
to your opinion, which means,
uh-huh,
if you say something on a platform, I mean, be it verbally, if like someone's in an interview, or even if you type it on social media, you cannot sue me for my opinion. You know how people are like, well, I'm going to sue you for defamation of character because you said something about me that wasn't true. Okay, but that's my narrative of how you are.
Uh-huh.
So you can't, you know, I'm literally entitled to my opinion.
Right.
But. You are not allowed to say that as a person, you know, you should no longer have access to certain avenues that are your livelihood, be it whether you're a rapper, a singer, be it you're a secular or a Christian artist.
Right.
No one should have the I guess...
Audacity.
Or the manpower,
yeah,
shall I say, to be like, this person should no longer be allowed to allow their gift to make room for them anymore.
That part. Come on. That part.
So, like, what... Because we're seeing cancel culture I see it definitely a lot in the secular world, but
absolutely,
it has definitely seeped into Christian.
Oh, it crept in the church. Oh, it has crept in.
It's gotten in there. Let's talk about that, Britt. So,
yes.
So tell me how you see that happening and what that's doing to us as the body of Christ.
Absolutely. My point of view, to be real, I think it's a lot of self-appointed enforcers.
Hmm.
It's a lot of people that are coming out here and they feel like they have, you know, such a clean background that, mm-hmm, they can declare a person worthy of hate. And that's an unauthorized permission to slander as if you're flawless. So a lot of people are doing this in the church, right? They're doing this thing where they've gotten delivered out of something, right?
Okay.
And they see someone come in that's battling with the very thing that they once struggled with.
Yeah, talk about that. Let's talk about that.
So let's get into it, okay? Yeah. Let me speak for the ladies that's coming out of the adult entertainment world, okay?
Uh-huh.
Been there, done that, rode in the backseat with Jezebel and smoked with herself. What you saying? So if I'm seeing a young lady who's coming in from off the streets, and she may be a prostitute.
Okay, yeah.
And everything. Yeah. I would be wrong if she decided she wanted to come into the church, and, you know, she hasn't all the way gotten delivered.
Mm-hmm.
So she may feel like, okay, I'm still going to have my Hennessy Sunday morning before I come into the Lord's house.
That's a bit much, but okay.
Okay, so she feels like, I'm going to still have my Hennessy before I come into the Lord's house, mm-hmm. and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I smell it on her breath, and yeah. I say, oh no, you don't even deserve to come into the house and work on anybody's ministry with that Hennessy on your breath. You don't get to do nothing. Matter of fact, I want you to sit in the back of the church, and I'm basically revoking your access to be able to work in ministry because you're not cleaned up of anything. That's, and I decide that I want to cancel her because she's still struggling out of a sin. Ooh. Instead of giving her guidance and correcting her in love, and to say, hey, you might, on Sundays, you might not want to go to the hen before you come to the pen of the Lord. Okay? Like, instead of me coming in a place of love, I'm deeming her unworthy of coming into the Lord's house. Oh, baby, you might just want to stay home if you wanted to sip a little something. And who am I to cancel her knowing I came from where she came from?
Wow, Brett. Wow. It, listen, let me tell you something. That, woo. Okay, so this is a lot. Like, I'm unfolding that story because this is real.
That is real.
Reality. This happens all the time.
Yeah.
And I guess we get this posture in our mindsets. And sometimes if it, because it gets down in your heart, now you need to go repent for it.
Yeah.
But Christians get this posture inside of them. And they think that because you have served in ministry mm-hmm. for a certain amount of years, that you have 4 gold stars on the ushering board.
Get out of here.
Or you have X amount of years on the baking ministry, that when a new convert comes into the doors and they're maybe not, they might not be as versed in church vernacular. Mm-hmm. They may not really know how everything operates.
Right.
But deep down, they have a heart to serve.
Right.
All they want to do is serve God's people.
That's all.
And they get shunned. They get, I don't think you should do it. A, it's for their appearance
mm-hmm.
or it's for, you know, their lack of, I'm not going to say lack of knowledge, because I know the Bible says that we perish because of lack of knowledge, but I guess sometimes it takes time to learn the things of God. That takes
Absolutely.
Time. It takes time to understand how things operate in decency and order in the house of God.
Absolutely.
So that's something that you have to learn over time.
Right.
But I found that because so many people are doing what you said,
right.
Nobody's teaching. And I'm not, you know what? I'm going to like recant that statement. I'm not going to say nobody's teaching. There are very few mm-hmm. that are willing to take the time to teach.
Willing.
You have to be willing to take the time to teach.
That's
because
it.
Nobody's made overnight.
No, right.
Like, we even learned in our final episode that we did with Dr. Co-Pastor Teresa Goggins.
Yes.
That she said something very powerful. She said, deliverance sometimes has to happen over a course or a period of time.
Yes.
So you're not going to wake up every day and be like, ooh, I got it. Let's go.
Bow.
You're going to give it to them every day, but you still going to have to walk that thing out and still be taught and things like that.
Right.
So, Britt, that was really, really good because it has. And a lot of times I find that the way the cancel culture works has started to work in the church, or maybe it's been going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But what I've noticed is usually a one-on-one interaction.
It is. Knows.
And it's like, I've already in my mind canceled you because I looked at you and what you had on.
Right.
So in my mind, I canceled that you're not even worthy to do this work that I think we're about to do, or what you have in your heart to do. You may need to wait a little bit until you're, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But how am I going to learn if I don't get in there and do it? and practice it. And it becomes to where people are like, I don't even want to go. You know, like I went and I was on fire and I had this desire to do it. And she told me to come home.
Right.
Like that's so, you know, mm-hmm. And I got a story that I watched that actually.
Oh, tell me about it.
So there was this interview that I came across. Mm-hmm. And there was a young girl, and she talked about how she went through a divorce with her husband, right?
Right.
She went through a divorce. The church that she was a part of was telling her that she should stay with her husband. Now, this relationship was not only physically abusive, it was mentally abusive. Oh, my goodness. It was a very, for lack of a better word, toxic situation.
Oh.
So in this toxic situation, you know, they were telling her, you know, but the Bible doesn't really want you to divorce your husband. You should have divorced your husband. You know, you should have divorced your husband. She's like, y'all, I am over here struggling. I cannot do this. I cannot stay with this man and still be alive. Like, my life is in danger if I stay with this man. So I guess the ministry was just telling her, you know, stay with your husband. She decided to divorce him.
Okay.
You know, long story short. She decided to divorce him. And she said, after she divorced her husband, or she made the decision and she told them, she got a voicemail from her pastor telling her that she cannot come back to the church.
From the pastor?
From the pastor.
Oh, it's some flaws.
She is not welcome to come back to the church because she divorced her husband.
Was the pastor sleeping with the husband? Because what in the world you got going
now,
on?
Look, that you I don't know any of that. But that is a true story. She actually got on the platform and she said that. And I watched it. They have these documented stories. And I watched that. Another story I had. There's a guy who does, I guess you would call them, like, motivational, like, little clips, reels on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say his name. But he does these reels, right? And he tells his story. He testifies about this story. He was actually on a podcast, and I watched the podcast. He talked about this, how he was canceled from a mega ministry that he went to.
Wow.
He served in the youth ministry. He was only 18 years old.
Okay.
And at this ministry, particular ministry, at this particular mega ministry,
mm-hmm.
he, they said if you were, once you turned 18, you could no longer be in the youth ministry, which I think is crazy.
That's
because there's seniors that are 18 years old and they definitely still need to be in the youth ministry. But anyways, they were saying you had to come out of the youth ministry and go to the, I guess, okay, the main you can't
sanctuary.
No longer go to the youth ministry. Well, I guess because he turned 18, he started, you know, teaching in the youth ministry. He wanted to start teaching, but he was still going to learn before he kind of graduated.
Oh, that's good.
And he met a girl.
Okay.
Right? And the girl was 17. So he's 18, she's 17.
Okay.
So she can still be in the youth ministry, but he's
transitioning,
basically on the cusp, and he's not really supposed to be there, but he still goes because he's still in high school.
Right.
And so 18 and 17.
Still youth.
And they ended up sleeping together.
Oh, my.
They started dating, and they ended up sleeping together.
Okay.
Somehow, some way, it got out that they were sleeping together.
Oh.
And he got a call from the youth minister.
Okay.
You no longer need to show your face at this church anymore.
At the church? Wait a minute.
So, yes.
We just skipped the correction and just went straight for the cancel?
Straight for the cancel. But that's two true stories, testimonies that I've heard of people who were essentially canceled by the church.
Oh, my
because
goodness.
Of a mistake. Now, the divorce thing, I don't see that as a mistake.
That ain't no mistake.
I don't see that
her
as
life
a mistake.
Is on the line.
I'm divorced, and I would have been crushed if that was my story.
Oh,
you
my
know?
Gosh.
So, yeah, I can only imagine how she feels. But, yeah, like, straight up canceled.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said it took him a long time to get over that. It took him a long time to kind of, like, you know, he left the church because they asked that he leave. And, you know, he talks about that openly and honestly. And he talks about how he went through, you know, a season of depression, how he went through a space, and how he really was. He start, you know, and then when that happens, mm-hmm. I find that people get mad at God. Now, we got to talk about
that.
Because we know
right.
that even though you were in church and this happened.
Mm-hmm.
The bride hurt you.
The bridegroom did not hurt you.
The bride hurt you.
Okay.
The bride hurt you, okay? We cannot fault the bridegroom for the bride's mistake. So we have to remember that, you know, to all of you out there that this has happened to, if it has happened to you. First, we would love for you to DM us.
Yes, and, please
and,
let us
and
know.
And share this story, because that just, you know, there's lots of, I know there's more stories out there, but that's, I don't want you to think that, you know, if you're struggling with going back to church, if you're struggling with thinking, well, why would God allow this to happen to me? You know, but no.
You know what? God will serve an eviction notice to something that's spiritually about to harm you. So sometimes God will cause a divine interruption to happen. Ooh. If he knows that there are people that are looking to corrupt, or there are people watching, looking for their moment to kind of attack. Mm-hmm. Because there's gossip and things that happen well before that phone call happened from the pastor. Mm-hmm. No, you can't come back. Mm-hmm. There's conversation that mm-hmm. God heard that person didn't. So God will serve an eviction notice by saying, uh-uh. Because that lets you know that there's something erroneous in the house. Mm-hmm. Not that it's not just something within the people. It's something within leadership too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So God will cause them to separate. And it hurts. Yeah. Sometimes it hurts when you pour your all into a ministry where you think you're safe. You're supposed to grow. You're supposed to learn. Mm-hmm. And there's a corruption in leadership.
Ooh.
But God will see it and say, okay, enough is enough. You may have been there in your adolescence. You got what I needed you to get. But in your own mistakes, they have some issues going on too that just haven't been broadcasted.
Mm-hmm. You just don't see what's on the other side.
You just don't see what's on the other side.
We don't go home with them, you know.
Right.
You see my mistake or you see my mishap. It's open.
Exactly.
Everybody sees my flaw, but yours is hidden.
Exactly.
So I can't cancel you because you doing something behind closed doors that nobody knows about, but God sees everything.
Exactly. You're lucky that God didn't expose Sister Cantaloupe with a sex toy in the drawer. You are so lucky that God didn't expose. You know what I'm saying?
Sister Cantaloupe, please remove the sex toy.
Sister Cantaloupe, get your sex toy out the drawer, and you're holding the envelopes, passing out an offering with that hand. Please,
I am not doing that with you today.
Don't let God expose you, and you want to cancel people. Get out of here.
I'm praying that Sister Cantaloupe gets delivered. Okay. Nevertheless, that's true, though. Like, we have this mindset that we are obligated to give people a repercussion for their action, even though we haven't consulted God about it.
You ain't talked to God about nothing.
Because this is my opinion.
Okay, I'm gonna put that out there.
In my opinion,
mm-hmm.
you should not be making a phone call to tell someone they cannot come back to church if you have not consulted. I'm almost sure. Now, I can't tell you everything. I don't know everything, but I'm almost sure.
Sure.
If you consulted God about whether or not that person should have to leave the church.
The church?
I feel as though he's probably not going to tell you that they do. Because the church is a hospital for the sick.
It is.
That means that person still has a level of deliverance they need to go through. And if they are willing to openly discuss a situation in their life that happened with you, such as the woman who got divorced, I think counseling now needs to go into play.
Exactly.
Some type of spiritual service needs to be rendered unto her to get her life back.
That part.
In right standing or what she's going through, because there's so many things that's going through. So where are we going wrong there? Why aren't we getting her the help she needs or him the help he needs? Versus just saying, I don't want you in my church because you are tainting my reputation.
Because there's a lot of little self-gods and self-enlightenment. It's so much of a promotion
the
of
little
self.
G's.
The little G's.
Mm-hmm.
You have people in leadership that low-key want God's position.
Can't.
So instead of consulting God, they'll make the decision as if they are the God of their church. So.
Oh, that's good. What did you say, Brittany?
Instead of consulting God, they have decided to make the decision as if they're the God of their church.
Wow.
Sounds like a pride issue.
That is definitely a pride issue. And we know that pride is the big brother sister to a whole lot of sins.
Oh boy.
So it kind of, it's right there. So yeah, that was pretty deep. And that I was watching that. First of all, I'm a crybaby. So of course I was crying as she was telling her story. Not only was I crying for how she, you know, when she was telling the story and it kind of was an emotional space for her, I was crying because that was actually my story. I'm divorced.
Yeah.
And that I just was watching, like, I could not imagine already the emotional turmoil that you go through in that process of unbecoming one with someone
mm-hmm.
in that way. And I don't know if there was children involved in her story. There's children involved in my story. And yeah. you're still dealing with their emotions and things happening with them. Yeah. Only to for your pastor to call you and tell you can't come back to church. Yeah. I would have been like, yeah, I don't know about this. I don't know if I can do, like, God, what's up with this? And like you said, Brittany, it definitely could have been the exit moment for God to, you know, kind of show her what was going on with the ministry she was at to lead her to another one. Yeah. I don't even know her, like, but if she has a redemption story, I would love to hear. Which I know God is the great redeemer, so I'm sure she has one, and I would love to hear, because that's the only story that I have of hers. But yeah, Brittany, that's deep. And so I actually also, I be watching stuff, y'all. Like, I know y'all hear me, like, always have a story for something, because I don't watch TV. Everybody knows that. Brittany literally just asked me, did you watch Super Bowl? I was like, no, I was asleep. I don't watch TV. I literally went, it was like 2 years and we didn't have any TVs in our house. Like, my dad was like, that is ridiculous that you have two children and you don't have any TVs in your house. I was like, they're probably actually better because of it.
They are better.
You know, they read on very high levels. That's because that's all they could do.
They are awesome.
But yeah, so I watch a lot of, you know, a lot of
interviews,
and I watch a lot of podcasts and stuff. And I saw a podcast. There's a podcast called The Same Room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with Stephanie Ike. She got married. Don't know her new last name. I'm so sorry. But she did get married this past year.
Congratulations,
she got married this past year. And she does it with the woman who owns The Shade Room. And the podcast is called The Same Room.
Wow.
They had Chrisette Michelle, the singer, songwriter, artist, Chrisette Michelle on an episode. And she talked about when she was canceled.
Oh,
do y'all remember when they canceled? Do you remember when they canceled her for her performance?
Mm-hmm.
The presidential performance when she performed for... Was it Trump?
I think so.
Okay.
I want to say. That would make sense as to why she would cancel.
Yeah, she was canceled for that. And she talked about that. And it was so interesting. But she said a quote. And in the podcast, she quoted this. She said, "We don't have to defend the gospel. We just have to let the fruit of our lives show up and speak."
Ooh,
and that was good, because she talked about how she was canceled behind the performance. And she said... Her cancellation, I guess, quote unquote, brought her closer to God.
Wow.
She got more quiet. She got more still. And also, the Winston Marshall from the band Mumford & Sons, he was also, talks about how when he left the group, he was canceled. And he also explains, when I read an article that was written on him, he also talks about how his cancellation brought him closer to God. And I thought that was very interesting for that spin to be taken on that, because oftentimes when people aren't in God, they become depressed.
Mm-hmm.
It causes them to even go so far as commit suicide.
Right.
And because they feel like they've lost everything, because their career was everything. And when they can't operate in that space, they feel like they're unworthy.
Oh.
That's why it's so important to have a relationship with Christ, because you, like they said, you know, I knew that obviously this cancellation meant something more than just me not being able to get a performance, or, you know, and then having to walk on eggshells. I could not imagine. Every time you turn around, you got to walk on egg. I can't say this. I can't say that. I can't do this. They'll cancel me. Like, stop it.
That's a lot.
Why do people have to walk in fear? Because... y'all thinking cancel, y'all have the right to cancel them and not allow them to do what they were called to do. And I think that's just crazy.
That's
because, and I also wrote something down, Brie. I said, okay. Shame is the overwhelming feeling that our mistakes become our identity. Shame keeps us stuck in sin, distancing us from God. So, like, what do you think about that?
Oh, my goodness. You know, a lot of times, when you feel guilty about something, you'll hide, or you'll run, or you'll, the biggest thing, avoid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
A lot of times we'll just, you know, pull back, draw back, and just stop.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
together.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And let me just go ahead and start by saying this. When it comes to shaming, it's like once you go through that feeling of being canceled, and you feel shame, you start to deem yourself as unworthy to go to God. So you'll separate and you'll run like a kid from a parent that feel like they've disappointed their parents so bad that they can't even face them.
So you'll start to deem yourself as unworthy. Now, all of a sudden, the way that God looks at us like a masterpiece, we all of a sudden lose our property value in our minds. And like, oh, no, we're not worthy enough. And then it starts to trickle in business, hobby, self-worth, self-esteem. Now the way we respond to people, we're responding to them in a place of hurt and shame. Sometimes people lash out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes we're seeing people act outrageous out of a place of being hurt and heartbroken mm-hmm. and everything. And so, of course, they're going to run from God. They don't feel like, God, I'm not good enough to come to you. You're so perfect and I'm so not.
Ooh.
But scripture says, Romans 10 and 11,
yeah.
Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame.
Never be put to shame.
Not in God.
Not in God.
Isn't that crazy? It's crazy.
That's beautiful. But that's true, though. And yeah. And when you said that, I got another scripture. So scripture moment.
Let's go.
In Romans 8 and 1, in the Amplified Version, the Bible says, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no guilty verdict, mm-hmm. no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior.
Come on.
So that's exactly what you were saying, because we know that that's definitely a famously quoted scripture that we say a lot. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it's right. true. And I like the way the Amplified broke that down by saying there's no guilty verdict. No punishment. You can't cancel me because God's my dad.
God's my dad. Get out of here.
Jesus, that's my God.
Okay?
You can't cancel me if I'm in Christ. No such thing.
You can't.
Because I thought about that, Britt, when they deleted our Instagram.
They deleted our Instagram. They deactivated us, y'all. See, they canceled us.
All right, so we're going to tell a story.
No!
We're going to tell a story for y'all to hear, okay? This was like, it had to be January because I was fasting. I fast at the top of the year every year. For those of y'all that don't know what fasting is, if I'm talking to anyone who doesn't, which is fine. Fasting is giving up something you love. I'm not just going to say food because everybody doesn't have the same relationship with food as others do. I don't have that relationship with food. I'm not a lover of food. So me fasting food isn't always the me giving up something I love. Now, if I don't drink coffee for 21 days, I fasted. And I know that my fasting was accepted by the Lord because I love coffee. Okay? But I was fasting. So basically, I was giving up things that I love in order to draw closer to God, for my spirit to become stronger than my flesh, mm-hmm. which means for me to react more spiritually than I do fleshly, which is with my mind, will, and emotions. I would react more to the word of God. I would react more from the concepts of the word of God. So that's why we fast as Christians. So I was fasting for 21 days. In January, right? And my fast, I do not go on social media. So I'm not on Facebook. I actually delete the apps off my phone. I don't go on any type of social media. And so I get a text message from Britt, right?
Yes.
And she was like, Tay.
Tatum.
That's how she said it. That's my nickname, y'all, Tatum. But she said it and she was like, and I always read things in her voice when she texts me because I hear her. We talk a lot, so I hear her voice a lot. So I read it in her voice. I heard every dramatization. I don't know how to say that word.
Dramatization.
Okay, that was good. All right. How she said it, that's what I heard when I read it, right? And so I was like, huh? She was like, was it Flag?
Flag.
They have flagged our Netflix page.
Flag.
And now, mind you, she didn't give me any details. All she said was, you know, exclamation point, hey, they have flagged our Netflix and Hill page, and they are talking about deleting it, you know, if we don't, what do we have to do?
You said, okay.
No, what did they say they were going to do? Delete it, or have they already?
They did. They didn't even give us a chance to appeal.
Look, I didn't even think it was deleted. So here I am giving her instructions on what to do. I'm like, all right, great, boom. I know exactly why they flagged it. I can feel it in my sha-na-na, like Willie Moore Jr. said. I can feel it in my sha-na-na. I can feel that the reason they flagged our page is because of the abortion post, right?
That's what
I said. Mind you, the same way I said.
That's
it. I said because of the abortion post. I said, so log in. Delete the abortion post. Delete the, what did I say?
The drugs and alcohol.
Delete the drugs and alcohol post and delete the don't taste the rainbow.
Don't taste the rainbow.
When we talked about homosexuality. I said, I'm feeling that those are the things they flagged us for. And let's see if we could go from there. Mind you, I say that. I don't hear back from Britt. Apparently, she, you know, once I told her everything, she was like, okay, well, you know, Ted, apparently the page was deleted. I found out the page was deleted a week ago. Last week, I logged on and was like, we don't have, okay. And to make the story make sense, the reason I didn't know is because Brittany is in charge of the social media page.
Okay.
I don't really, honestly, all I do is repost the page, the post to my story, to my personal page. And so Britt's in charge of it. So I don't know, like, I don't know. I don't do anything with it. So she didn't text me back. And that was just that, you know, I didn't think anything of it. Saw that the page was deleted. I called her yesterday because I knew we were going to record today. And I was like, Britt, so like, what are we going to do about our Instagram page? We don't even have an Instagram page. And Britt, tell the people what you said. Because I laughed. It was really funny.
Okay. So when I went to sit and look up how to get our page reactivated, because I'm like, not y'all deactivated. You canceled us on the cancel
We
culture.
Got canceled, y'all.
We got canceled. So the fact that we were flagged on our Don't Taste the Rainbow post, mm-hmm. abortion, mm-hmm. and drugs and alcohol, that let me know a lot about the person who flagged us. That gave a dead giveaway about what that person stood for. You're clearly pro-choice, okay? You're clearly tasting all of the rainbow. It ain't a color missing off of you, okay? And apparently, you smoking it down, rolling it up, passing.
Or they just didn't like what we posted.
Or they might not have liked what we posted.
They didn't agree, so they decided to... I guess like, if y'all could see Brittany's face, y'all would be like, yo, she's not feeling what you're saying today. She's looking at me like, nah, I'm not. I'm standing on my stance that this type of person that flagged us. But yeah, okay, so Britt, what happened?
Okay, so I decided I'm going to write a letter, like White Chicks, okay? I'm going to write a letter. I love that movie, you guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, let me go and find out. I went to the Instagram Help Center to see.
I didn't know that existed.
Oh, I sat my behind right there, okay, like an angry Karen. Yeah. And I was like, oh, how dare you cancel us. And you out here with all kinds of OnlyFans links and people bios. And no, I'm not coming in here bashing you for what you do, but if you're going to walk in Christ, you got to walk right. You feel me? Okay, you got this going on. It's all type of racist posts. You got people that are full on, you know what I'm saying? They got everything out there, pedophilia and all. And you cancel a Christian, an international Christian podcast due to somebody being in their feelings. Somebody done got in their feelings and then went that far.
Somebody was a little hurt by the post and they didn't want to see them on Instagram. But nevertheless.
So this is what I wrote to Instagram, okay? I said, Dear IG, our platform, Netflix and Hill, A Single Millennial's Diary, is an international podcast that delves into taboo topics in Christianity. We impact thousands of women and men around the world with biblical truths, and we stand firm on those beliefs. It is imperative not to cancel our platform, as you have OnlyFans ambassadors, free porn, pedophilia, racism, and pages that embrace the things that violate your terms and agreements. But a Christian podcast will follow the terms and agreements of Christ. Hope to come back soon.
Write the letter, Brit.
And within 5 minutes,
yeah.
Instagram replies back and says, let me read this back to y'all now. Hold on, let me pull it up. Hi, Netflix and Hill. It looks like your account was disabled by mistake. Your account has been reactivated, and you should now be able to log in. We are sorry for any inconvenience. If you have any issues getting back into your account, please let us know. Thanks.
Yo.
5 minutes.
Yo. So as y'all all know, I'm a grandma. I go to bed. 8:30 is my bedtime. 9 o'clock, I'm out. Okay. I got up this morning, right? I didn't even see the text message this morning. This happened this morning, y'all. This is so crazy how this worked. This morning, I get up, right? I look at this text message that we're sending. And I was like, wow. Matter of fact, she sent the text message last night at 12:46.
Late.
Yeah. But she was like, this is not going down when we talked about it yesterday.
I'm like, this ain't going
she
down.
Was like, Tam said, email. I was like, Britt, it's okay. And here I am. It's okay, Britt. If we have to, you know, do another page, it's fine. No, Tay, we're not doing it.
No!
You have people out there doing OnlyFans
kids, and we're just trying to
Bring Jesus to the club. And you mean to tell me, little Miss Torkaholic can keep going with our Christian podcast? We drinking tea, Tay.
I know. But it was so funny. Like, she was not taken down. She was not taken down. Standing firm on this. And she stood firm on it. And Instagram was like, we are not. I don't want to smoke with her because I feel like she's going to go further. Like, if we go, she's going to go harder. I guess whoever leads that area whoever or that department, does it. I don't even know. First of all, I don't like the fact that they lied because they know it wasn't taken down.
They lied.
I don't think it was a mistake that it was taken down, but I am glad and I thank God that we got our page back, y'all.
Come on!
So we are back and woo! That blessed me. But we had to tell that story because, like, how many of us, something happens, right? Mm-hmm. Something happens, or someone calls themselves canceling us, right?
Right.
And we know who our daddy is.
Okay.
We know that God is our father. We know who we belong to.
Right.
And I will definitely take accountability. Okay. And you are like, Tay, you know what? It's okay, God. I'll just do something else. I know you called me. I'm just using Xavier. I know you called me to write, but since they flagged my story or my blog, I'll just do something else. God, I'll just do something else.
Right.
We need to have Britney stance.
For those that are knock of you bug in the spirit, for those of you that's ready to knock, knock, pop, a block, bow, okay? For those of you that don't mind standing toe-to-toe with the authorities to say, I'm standing firm on my beliefs. I'm standing firm in what we're doing because we ain't hurting nobody.
That's true.
We're not hurting anybody. We are bringing so much love, mm-hmm. and we teach out of love, we correct out of love, just like, 1 Corinthians 16:14, mm-hmm. we do all things in love. We aren't coming from a place to bash, we are not Bible bashers, okay? We are not coming in here smacking you upside the forehead with scripture. We're delivering it to you in a way that you can understand, receive, and feel, okay, I might be convicted, but you know what? At least I'm stronger and, you know, I'm not slow to this thing.
And we're learning too.
Yeah, we're learning with you.
And that's what I'm saying. I love how God brought that thing full circle. Yeah. Like, he was like, okay, y'all was about to be canceled. Let me show y'all what I'm feeling first. Because I was sitting there like,
oh, man.
I was sitting there like, dang, they really deleted our Instagram page. Do you know how many posts were created up there that are really good?
Worked so hard.
Brittany worked hard. I can't take any credit. Brittany worked really hard.
Like, no.
And she worked hard to keep that page up and running and going. And I'm like, oh, man. We lost all the DMs that people, you know, talk to us about. And gosh. And I was just like sulking. Like, you know, like, I had a moment. I was like, okay, God, what now? We're going to record tomorrow and we don't even have an Instagram page.
Y'all, I wasn't going to go to sleep.
And rinse up at 1 o'clock in the morning. Like, we're not doing this. We're going to get our page back. And I just thank God for her stance on that. So, Brett, I'm going to publicly thank you.
Thank you
for that. That's what we need. And so, that was great. So, to all y'all out there that feel like someone that feels like they, oh, you canceled me. Like, you know what? You know what I call it?
Mm-hmm.
I call it... It's a form of bullying.
It is.
It really is. It's literally a form of bullying because it happens in schools. It happens. Nobody talked to her because one person did hurt.
Child.
Girl, your feelings are hurt. So now you don't want anybody to talk to her because you got your feelings. And it's 9 times out of 10, it's something you did.
It is.
She just reacted to it.
That's all it is.
You did it and she reacted and you didn't like her reaction. So now you mad.
You're trying to get everybody else.
Now, nobody talked to her. Everybody. And then you got to start lying. Because, you know, once offense comes and nobody takes offense. I know that offense, the spirit of offense and lying, they definitely relate.
Okay.
Because they go together real bad. Okay. So, real bad.
Oh,
so, like,
goodness.
You take offense, right? And because everybody's looking at you like, you sound crazy. Okay. You got to feel like, now you got to start lying. Well, she also said this about you.
No, she did.
Nah. Now you gotta lie because nobody's feeling the fact that you are in your personal emotions and you have not maturated to the point that you can be emotionally intelligent enough to understand why your feelings were hurt in the first place this person. And then you don't know how to walk the necessary steps out according to the word of God on when it comes to an offense. You don't know how to release it and let it go and move on. So now that you're so hurt, you got to go get your cousin liar trying to get revenge.
And now y'all gotta spread lies about this person. Because I'm gonna tell you something right now. One person can't cancel someone themselves.
They can.
You need help. You need a group of people to gather with you. Sounds very Sadducee and Pharisee.
It's very Sadducee.
And you need a group of people to get with you to cancel someone. So if we all had our own minds that I think about that, if we look on social media and we see that someone said something that was, I guess, contrary to popular belief.
Right.
And they made a statement, whether it was purposeful or they were just talking and it got leaked. So someone leaked their conversation that was a private conversation, which that happens often.
All the time.
If it was a video or something like that, that goes against the standards of the company that they are connected with. Okay. And one person sees this video, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can they be canceled? They only get canceled when the video is sharing. Other people see it.
That part.
Because you have a personal feeling about this person. And sometimes it's deeper than that. You already don't like them. So you would like to see them canceled. You know, and I think about, you know what I think about when I think about that?
Interesting.
I think about Dante Bo.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I can say his name because it was public. That was public. That was public on Instagram.
Let's talk about it.
And if y'all don't know who he is, he was a member of Maverick City Music,
right.
The popular music group that has won all the Grammys this year. Okay. Yeah. Y'all know about them. And they pretty much, I mean, canceled this man.
Which I think is so insane when they got other members that have,
I don't know nothing about that. Now, I don't know. Now, that I don't know. I can't say I don't know. All I know is I saw the video that he apparently was, dancing to some music that was not.
What about the ones that perform with Faith Evans?
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
We don't cancel them though, right?
I guess not, Britt. And you see what I'm saying?
So we canceled
this one fella. And you know, it could have been deeper that
it could
know,
be.
There was some
it
other
could.
Stuff, some personal stuff that went on. But I guess my issue with the whole where do we feel as though we have that right to do that to someone? Like, you can say, you can't be a part of our group, but you don't have to. Do you have to publicly announce that?
Right. Like, why does the correction have to be done in a way to publicly humiliate and try to deem it as you're taking a PR approach?
Yeah.
Jesus didn't need a PR for his image.
Jesus didn't cancel people. Let's start there.
He didn't cancel people.
He didn't cancel people. He was the one that the canceled people went to, and they was like, listen. Jesus was like, let me tell you something. One of my favorite lines Jesus says.
Come on.
And he says it to the woman at the well. I know he said it more than once in the Bible, but he says it to the woman at the well. He tells her to go and sin no more.
Oh, my goodness.
That is operating in forgiveness. But another word comes to mind when Jesus told her to go and sin no more. He was telling her, and you better be accountable. Because now you know that you've been forgiven. Don't go back and roll in the mud when I've cleansed you. Them being at the well and Jesus being living water and the water, the connection. Of course, it was definitely all symbolism for her being washed clean of her sins.
Yeah.
For her, you know, but she can't go back and roll in the mud.
Right. And the thing is that I love about that story is that initially, Jews and Samaritans don't get along.
Nope.
They don't get along. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus was tired, chilling at the well. And she was like, you want me to get you a drink of water? Like, why me? Yo, she questioned Jesus for a minute. And finally, he was like, you know what? If you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. And she was like, I want some of this water. He's like, go get your husband. Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't have a husband.
Yep.
You had five husbands.
Yeah.
And then there's a man that you're sleeping with and you're staying with right now. I'm like, golly, Jesus will call that thing out. I'm like, golly. Yeah. But the thing that the thing that I love the most, even with that story and then the story of the woman that got caught in the act of adultery.
Mm-hmm.
With both of those stories, active. The sin was active. Mm-hmm. Jesus already knew. So for people, before they even get canceled, Jesus already knows the thing that they're struggling with, battling with, and maybe, you know, enjoying their sin in before the world tries to come in. I love that Jesus said, all right, if any of you never sin, cast the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
Got that good finger, got in the dirt, scribble, scrabble, scribble, scribble, scrabble.
Yep.
I'm talking about the oldest dipped off first. Okay, that'll tell you. Even the wisest person knew.
Oh, that's good.
Even the oldest person that was in that crowd waiting to stone her, right? They were anxious. The Bible says they were anxious to stone her.
That's crazy.
And Jesus was writing their names in the dirt, right? And one by one, they slowly dip off. But it starts with the oldest person, because even the oldest person knew, yo, I can't, I don't got no right. Slowly, everybody got convicted and had to back up.
Had to.
Okay, like, had to. Insane how Dante had to go through.
Yeah, and I look at that like, oh my gosh, like, sure. That's crazy. But, like, even if you have something personal going on, does it have to be publicly displayed?
It does, like, not. Like,
why do you feel as though you have to let your fans know the reason why you did that? You really don't, though. Like, I mean, honestly, this is my opinion. Again, I personally feel like you really don't.
Right.
That's kind of, I would look at that as the pastor getting up in the pulpit and telling everybody why somebody left the church. Who cares?
That's a lot.
That doesn't really matter. Like, it doesn't really matter. That's not something that has to be broadcasted for the masses. You know, it's insensitive. It's very insensitive. And I don't think we're operating in the love of Christ when we do things like that. Now, the cancellation that goes on in the world, that's on y'all. But I'm going to say this. No, I'm not going to say that's on y'all. I'm going to say this. I feel as though, even in the midst of it, we still need to operate in love and sincerity and even in compassion with other people. Like, we don't have a right to be like, you just don't deserve anybody to listen to your music. No one should be, you shouldn't make any money anymore. You should be deemed, you know, a social misfit because you did this or said this. And this is my group, and my group doesn't like that you said. Everybody in the world is not that group.
Everybody is not included.
So your group, because they spoke about your group. Y'all know, y'all catching what I'm throwing. They spoke about your group, and everybody's not your group. Now they're canceled because your group was offended. Now that's not okay. That's not okay. And we got to be mindful of what we're saying about people and how we are supposed to make room for their mistakes by operating in grace and forgiveness. We are supposed to operate in grace and forgiveness. And y'all, we cannot be out here canceling people, like, for real.
We can't cancel.
And stop bandwagon. Stop jumping on the bandwagon when you on social media and you see, oh, you know, now.
Come on.
There are some people. And I'm not going to say no names. I'm not going to say people. I'm going to say companies.
There's some companies.
If you go against God, I ain't wearing your stuff. I'm not listening to your music. I'm not coming to your concert.
No.
I'm not spending money with or on your company or whatever you're selling. Because if it goes against God, it's not for me.
Now, you see how she did that without going and bashing the company and saying, I don't want you making any money. You see, because she didn't have the agenda of kill, steal, and destroy. Mm-mm. And cancel culture is rooted in rejection, unforgiveness, and a lack of mercy. It says that you're unredeemable. It says that you're unworthy of being delivered. It's literally a verbal killer. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Like, no.
Because you know what? I don't know what God wants to do with those people that y'all are. So I don't know what he's going to do with their life. So it's not my place to do that. But my personal opinion and my stance that I have with God, we not going to be buying your stuff. If what you believe in goes against what I believe in, I'm not buying your stuff. My money does not have to be spent with your company if your company goes against the God that I serve. Okay? Right. The one true and living God that I serve. If it goes against that, I'm not doing it. So that's what I have a right to that, just like you have a right to that. But what I don't have a right to do is to say, oh, across the masses, everybody, let's cancel them.
Hey.
I don't have a right to do that. That's God's place. And he serves vengeance. And he does a really great job of it. If y'all let him do his job, he does it because they want
his job.
He does it very well. Let him do his job. And so, yeah. I'm glad we were able to talk about this.
For real, I just love it because goodness, I am so sick of this. Doggone counterfeit boost to the self esteem to say, hey,
I'm
shutting it all down.
Yes, ma'am. And I thank God for this. And y'all, it felt so good to be back on the podcast.
Yes, it did.
Yes. So you all know we are still following in this vein that at the end of every episode, we have a hard question. And HARD is an acronym for How are you really doing? And today our hard question is kind of very simple. Have you ever been canceled? If so, why? And what happened after the cancellation?
My Lord.
please DM us on our page that is still very much so active. Thanks to the grace of God. At Netflix_AND_heal on Instagram. And you can also follow us there if you're not already. And you can follow us on Facebook at Netflix and Heal Podcast. Listen in on every platform. We are on Apple Podcasts. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, or if you would like to, could you please because Apple Podcasts allows you to give us a rating. If you could give us a 5-star rating, you will boost our podcast up and it will become one of the top podcasts in the world, which to me it already is. So allow that to be moved up so that it can reach more people and they can hear these wonderful conversations that Brit and I have. And we just thank you so much. We thank you so much.
Yes. You guys and are so, so awesome.
Yeah, you guys are just super, super awesome. So thank you for listening.
Yay!
And yes, and as we always say, if you are not saved and you would like to give your life to Jesus, go to your local church. You know, make sure it's for you. Make sure they're teaching the Bible, teaching the word, and unfiltered, not watered down, but the truth and the word of God.
Yes.
And get in there, get your life together, let God do the work on you. And because let me tell you something, Jesus will never cancel you.
Never. He will never. You're a new creation. You hear me?
You are a
new creation.
Yes. So we love you guys.
We love you.
And until next time, bye-bye.
Bye.